Shalom Aleichem. Once again, we're going to study the essays of Rabbi Cook on the revival of Israel. And we started essay 12, which is a very interesting essay. And let's review a little bit what we saw already, and we'll continue from where we left off. I'll share my screen. And here. We'll start. הסקירה רואה את הכוח האלוהי חי ופועל בתועפות גבורותיו ורוממות קדשו בכל מסיבות הטבע, בכל הליכות רוח האדם, בכל סיבובי המלחמות, בכל תכני תעתועי האישים והעמים. היא מסדרת אור קדוש על מלוא כל העולם. He's saying that the overwhelming historiosophic overview of history in the world gives meaning to all of the otherwise just incidental coincidental things, and instead of just seeing the world as a fortuitous concatenation of circumstances, you see God very much there in every single thing. He mechaber. And this view sees all of the events that are hidden in a lit fashion. These two paragraphs we saw in last class, and now let's continue from where we left off. This intellectual connection, what are we connecting? What are the two things we're connecting here? We're connecting all of the events that occurred in history with the ideal of the redemptive process that God wants to bring in this world. This view actually gives a holistic value to mankind, because instead of just seeing the whole world as a potpourri of unrelated incidents, all of a sudden we see the hand of God as it's unfolding, and it gives birth to the entire world. Now, again, it could very well be that Rabbi Cook is writing this during World War I or after World War I. And as this is happening, the whole world is in shock and they're saying, why? Why? And today there's just an expression that, bad things happen. That's just the way things are. And here, Rav Cook is explaining, no, that's not the way things are. Everything is exact, and God is bringing about the redemption of the Jewish people. He's doing it in a lot of different ways. And now it's kind of easy to see in a historiosophic overview of World War I and World War II that the result of World War I was the establishment of the British Mandate. And the result of World War II was the establishment of the State of Israel. So that you can see in a historiosophic overview that we actually have two different stages. And we have stage number one, the establishment of the British Mandate. World War I, World War II, the establishment of the State of Israel. So instead of just looking and saying, well, what is happening? Why is God suddenly being mean to mankind and just having no meaning and just understanding the whole world as a potpourri of circumstance? All of a sudden, Rav Kook is standing, towering, and saying there is an overview and an overwhelming meaning behind everything that's happening here. And that there is a reason why World War I occurred. There's a reason we can say now why World War II occurred. And we can see where the entire world is going. I'm going to mute everybody so that we'll be able to hear. And my apologies to all of you muted people. I'm returning now to our page. And it's saying, this overwhelming overview enhances man's basic spirit. This is when the light of Israel appears by having a piercing understanding. You have to have depth of emuna to see echkola everything, Miroshva itself. From the beginning till the end is all a wonderful parade of an unfolding redemptive process. From the very beginning until the very end, from the development of all of the great spiritual movements, all of the appearances of the great intellectual inventions, of all of the machinations of morality, everything has an exact place in history. There's a reason why this occurred in this period, because it's all a wonderful, magnificent parade bringing mankind to the heightened cognizance that it will attain in the end of days. Chidushei chokhmot, all of the new understandings, mada'im nisgavim u'mishachlim. Now, this throws us back to the Ten Commandments, and that when God commands the Jewish people, I am the Lord your God, again, he's not saying, I am the Lord your God that created heaven and earth and never talked to mankind since, but he's saying, I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. What does that mean when we believe in the God who took us out of the land of Egypt? That means that we believe in the God of history. We believe in the God of divine providence. We believe in the God who works through the events of mankind in history to bring about the final redemptive process that we're all waiting for. This is the magnificence of what Rav Kook is actually saying here, and that it's pretty much there in the Ten Commandments if you know how to look at it. And that a person, for instance, who wants to believe in God, but he doesn't want to believe in God that he took us out of Egypt, well, that's pretty bad. That's like the first of the Ten Commandments. That's like the basic, that's like number one, mitzvah number one that you're going to do is to believe in God. And the God that we believe in is the God who works through history and has all of the machinations of history to bring about the final redemptive process. And the overwhelming overview that Rav Kook is talking about is seeing how all of history is all part of this wonderful, wonderful parade. I mean, there's an interesting Maharal on Hanukkah. He wrote a book called Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or on Purim and Hanukkah. And in this book, he talks about how the history of the world, the four kingdoms that begin with first Egypt, the exile of Egypt, and then the Babylonian exile, and it followed, we suffered through the Persian exile, and then the Greek exile, and then the Roman exile, and that all four of these have in turn replaced the kingdom of the Jewish people. And he explains that there is a pattern to this, and that there's a reason why the Babylonians were first and the Romans are last, and Western civilization is the offshoot of what the Roman Empire believed in. And this is the cultural battle that Israel is fighting against Western civilization. And Rav Kook is explaining, is saying that what the Maharal is saying, looking at all of history, starting from Egypt, the beginning of the Jewish people, or even setting up the board before the Jewish people were created, the first 2,000 years until Abraham began the first yeshiva. They're also part and parcel of this entire process. And the world is 6,000 years, 2,000 years setting up, 2,000 years of Torah, teaching us Torah, which end exactly with the conclusion of the Mishnah, and another 2,000 years of the Messianic era. So it's pretty much, it's there. The Ramban also, in his commentary of the Torah, explains that they're 6,000 years that to correlate to the 6 days of creation. And just like the great lights, the big light and the small light were on Wednesday, so also they were on the third millennium of existence, the temples, and that it parallels the history of the world, parallels the history of the 6 days. It's interesting when you make the computation of the Vilna Gaon and you want to figure out exactly when the fifth hour on Friday morning is, it says that's when first man stood on his feet. It comes out exactly to the year of the establishment of the State of Israel, Tashach, or 1948. And we see that there is not a helter-skelter occurrence of events, but God has a very distinct plan in the world, and that the plan includes an exile into Egypt. God was very clear to Abraham, and he said that your seed will be in a land that is not theirs for 400 years, and only 400 years after Yitzhak is born do the Jewish people return from Eretz Yisrael. And then he will bring us to Eretz Yisrael, and if we're not good, he will exile us from Eretz Yisrael. And this exile has four different kingdoms that relate to the four directions of the wind of the earth, and that we will be exiled to Babylon and to Persia and to Greece and to Rome. And in the end of days, we will return. And we see that there's a plan. Oh, there's a reason to this madness. It's not just that one country happened to win and that Xerxes happened to beat the Greeks. And that's the way it worked. But we're understanding that there's an entire process that God is going through. And that's what we see in the book of Daniel, that there's a writing on the wall, and God is calling the shots, and he's saying, "Mene mene tekalu farsin," the end of the Babylonian Empire is now weighed in the balance and found wanting, and goodbye, Babylon. It's time for the next kingdom. And we see that God is calling the shots, and it's not just that they made a bad military decision. And Be'Belaila Katil Belshazzar Malka, that was the night that Belshazzar was killed. And when the writing was on the wall, that's when Persia took over. And the same is true with the destruction of the Persians. And in the visions of Daniel, he's very meticulous how Alexander the Great will take over and from the Persian government, and how Alexander's government will also turn into four sub-kingdoms, and how the Greeks will take over from the Persians. And we also see how the Romans will take over, and it's described also in the visions of Daniel as a monster, a terrible monster that will just eat everything with metal teeth and just leaving the moldy residue to trample with its feet. Scary monster. And this is the scary monster that we're still dealing with today. And this is all planned. It's part and parcel of God's plan. And that it's not a mistake, and it's not that God said oops in the middle of history, but everything is part and parcel of this wonderful parade. This is the basic belief of the Jewish people, that I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt, and that he is part and parcel of history. History is not denuded of God, and it's not the annals of man. It's the annals of God, and it's what God does through the annals of man. So this overwhelming, encompassing overview of historiosophic insight, this is what actually allows us to understand properly current events, history, and it also empowers mankind with a basic predicated emunah, which is rooted in the first of the Ten Commandments. And now he goes on and he says, it's not only history. And he goes on and he says, understanding all of the spiritual movements. And for instance, in Rabbi Cook's time, Zionism came about. And Rabbi Cook was in the time of Herzl, and Zionism became a thing in the movement of Zionism. And Rabbi Cook sees the fact that Zionism is taking hold in his generation is a forewarning of the redemptive process that's about to happen. And he realizes that if you see a movement that's taking hold of people, then it's divinely ordained. All kinds of understandings, and the understandings of Einstein, and how all of the chidushei, all of the new concepts of science, and that you see that all of communication, transportation, just had an unbelievable leap forward, and that I think without these technological advancements, the return of the Jewish people to Israel just couldn't have happened. And what's happening today also, understanding internet. I think Google Translate is part and parcel of this, and that it says in the end of days, all of the people will be speaking one language, and our vision has one language for all of the people and another language for the Jews. Instead of speaking Yiddish, they'll speak Hebrew, and there'll be two languages, one for the Jews in Israel and one for the rest of the world. I think that the concept of Google Translate is actually rectifying to a certain degree the what happened at the Tower of Babel, and that the mankind is now progressing towards a one language continents and mutual posture, which is a very great thing. And it's not just something that, oh, that's cool that these guys did that, but it's something which you see as part of the divine parade that God gives us all kinds of great technological advancements. I personally think that the concept of cloning that is being held back, I think morally, I think that science already has the capability of resuscitating the dead. And that they can clone someone. They can take a little piece of the bone from a person. And it says that there's always one piece of bone that remains from every individual. And I think that science can take that and get the person back. At least they can get their body back. I don't know exactly what neshama is going to go into that body. I don't know how that works. But it's something that seems amazing. And I think the ability of science to clone and to once again bring people back from the dead is also, this is part and parcel of the revelation that God is allowing mankind to have to bring about the final redemption. And it's not just fun things to stun and amaze your friends with, but they are part and parcel of the entire magnificent redemptive process that God is allowing mankind to experience. Also, the appearance of the Torah, and that everything, for instance, also the concepts of Kabbalah, the fact that the Kabbalah was not basically known. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai held it in secret, and there was only a secret clan of Jewish people who held the Zohar close until it was actually printed, and then it became something that everyone had. And even though it was part and parcel of everybody could have it, it wasn't that popularized until the Baal Shem Tov came, and then the appearance of the Baal Shem Tov, and then popularizing the Zohar, and having the movements of the Hasidic movement at the same time, the Vilna Gaon, and having the movement of the Talmidim of the Gaon and everything, and the understanding of the Torah. This is all part and parcel of this wonderful parade that Rav Kook is understanding and seeing as part of the redemptive process. All of the Ruach HaKodesh that appears is all part and parcel of this. The Baal Shem Tov claims that he learned from the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi, not only from Eliyahu HaNavi, from the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi, Achiah Shiloni was the one. So this, nobody else made a movement established. Why? Why did Achiah Shiloni come in the generation of the Baal Shem Tov and begin to teach him the secrets of Torah? Why only then did this revelation occur? Well, it seems that it occurred because it was time for the preparation of the Geula, and the Hasidic movement have an integral part in the redemptive process. The Hasidim themselves see that they have the only part, and that when everybody becomes a Hasid, then the final redemption will occur. I'm personally am not a Hasid. I'm not sure that that is exactly the case, but definitely they are part and parcel of this redemptive parade of ideas that is manifest as we continue. You know, it's interesting when he's talking about the appearance of Ruach HaKodesh. I heard from a lot of my students that since the war began on Shmini Atzeret, all of the people that are involved in any kind of heightened intuition have increased their heightened intuition many fold since the beginning of this war. And healers are able to heal much more. And all of the people that have intuition are, have heightened intuition and are able to understand events much greater and deeper than they were before the outbreak of the war on Shemini Atzeret. And that apparently this is also part and parcel of what's happening. It's much easier to see things in a historiosophic overview, understanding what happened, and then you can see what God wanted. And when we look back at the Hasidic movement, we can see how it impacted the Jewish people to be more inclined to Kabbalistic understandings. When you're in the middle of something and understanding exactly what the meaning of the war that we're now in, it's much harder to guess and say, well, what it is that we're doing. We can only be like Rav Kook and say that when he's looking in the middle of World War I, he's saying, I'm expecting Mashiach at the end of this war. I think that's a pretty safe thing to say. Let's say the same thing, you know, like, I expect the Mashiach at the end of this war. He didn't come at the end of World War I. We even had a World War II. And since then in Israel, we had the War of Independence, the Sinai Campaign. We suffered through the Six-Day War, the Yom Kippur War, all kinds of Shlomo Galil wars and little wars here and there. So, yeah, let's go with what Rav Kook says, that I expect the Mashiach to come at the end of this war. Hakol tnuot olamim gdolah achuzah bahem. There is a great giant parade of great, magnificent, divine moves that are being moved through all of these things together, all of the movements of mankind, all of the great thoughts of mankind, all of the great inventions of mankind. Everything is unfolding specifically as God intended it. And this is the movement of the light of Mashiach, and it was created before the world. It says that the Mashiach was one of the things that was actually created before the world. So this parade of events is part of a messianic unfolding schedule that God has implanted within the world. And this is the proper perspective with which to look at history and at current events. Every time that we have new circumstances, new events, new ideas, new thoughts, now he's saying, and these events bring a greater Geula in Yeshua, they bring a greater redemption, they bring a greater salvation to the Jewish people in Israel. Benshi Gashmino, Benshi Ruchanit, whether we're talking about a physical salvation or whether we're talking about a spiritual foundation. Hada'at makeret or Hashem achayomufia bahem. A person who has this da'at, a person who has this Weltanschauung, a person who has this overwhelming understanding, a person who has this historiosophic penetrating idea and understanding and belief that God is the God who took us out of Egypt. He is the God who has brought us from Egypt back to Israel today. He's the God who is in charge of everything. This idea and concept, makaret et or Hashem, it recognizes the light of God, achaya bahem, that is alive and appearing within it. So, like when we see the war today, we say, oh boy. We're in for a big change for the better here in Israel. And the fact that we see that instead of the Arabs beating us, we are beating the Arabs, we say, oh, well, that's a change for the better. And that's a part of our redemption. And we say, well, let's hope that as a result of this war, we will experience a heightened redemption. And once again, the Jewish people will have a heightened awareness of the land of Eretz Israel. Let's hope that the land of Eretz Israel will attain its stature of yore. Let's hope that the Jewish people will attain their stature of yore. And we have a wonderful expectation as a result of seeing that now we have events that are unfolding that are part and parcel of bringing about a better a better stance for the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. We have to listen to the voice of God that is calling from within. And as a result, we have to, well, what does God want? Again, we can't guess when we're in the middle. I mean, I can sort of guess. I think that if God is forcing us to conquer Gaza, and everybody hates Gaza, and everybody calls Gaza a synonym as hell, and they would say, well, would you rather go to Gaza or go to hell? Everybody would choose hell, but Gaza is much worse. And I believe that God is kind of bringing us into Gaza and forcing us to conquer Gaza and forcing us to change our basic understanding and concept of Gaza so that we'll once again want to return to our own land and realize that the only solution for Eretz Yisrael is for the Jewish people to have dominion over their own land. And until the Jewish people have dominion over their own land, there will be no peace in the Middle East. And that's what I think. Again, you can be an Orthodox Jew and come to some other conclusion, and that I'm sure in 200 years from now, we'll have a better perspective of what it is that God is doing through this war. But at any rate, a person who has this belief and understands, he believes in God who took us out of Egypt, and he believes that God is working through the machinations of history, is trying to understand, okay, God, you're doing something big now. I guess something big is happening in the redemptive process. What is it? And from here, you start to guess. The more you understand the redemptive process, the more you recognize what it is that God is doing, then you're able to unlock and see within the specific occurrences of history exactly what it is that God is trying to do. Then you're able to bring them to their goal, their bullseye. The hidden lights will join the revealed lights, and then we'll be able to understand exactly what it is. I mean, the revealed lights are the lights in the Torah. It says very specifically, in the end of days, God will redeem the Jewish people, bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, because he's not going to let his name be desecrated forever. Okay, that's a pretty revealed light. And how about the hidden light? Why did God let us do such terrible things? Why did God let the Arabs do such terrible things on Shemini Atzeret? That's a hidden light. And then we're going to say, oh, well, I guess that it's time for a war, and that had to spark a war, that the Jewish people would go and defend and do something. And whatever is going to be the result of this war is the result that apparently God wanted through the tragic events of Shemini Atzeret. So the more you understand the revealed lights, you're able to understand the hidden lights in a greater perspective. And nature will combine with a miracle. Eged, Elyon, Bechazak, a very strong binding, and we'll understand exactly what it is that's happening. And that on one hand, it's just a natural course of events that the Arabs in Gaza decided to do this on their own without the Arabs of the north. But if you look in a penetrating, you say, oh, I guess that's pretty much a miracle. It would have been a big problem had they done this together. Az yarad sarid la'tirim am. Hashem yarad li b'kiburim. This is what it means, that God goes and enters the specific machinations of history and all of the specific events. And it means that God is the God, not only who took us out of Egypt, he is the God who brought us back to Israel. He is the God of all of the wars of Israel. He's the God not only of the Six-Day War, but he's also the God of the Yom Kippur War. And he's also the God of this war. And that when we look in this penetrating overview, we're able to understand and see the hand of God in this war. And again, not the hand of God that he saved this soldier and that the guy just by a miracle didn't go into this house and wasn't killed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the entire process. The entire war is divinely designated, and God appears and is talking to us through this war. And the process that the Jewish people are going through as a result of this war is a positive redemptive process that will bring us closer to the final Geula. I want to thank everybody for participating. If anybody has any questions, I am open to questions on what we just said. And
Everything was very clear.
okay, well, thank you. And if there are no questions, so then we will end at this point, and I'll look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow. Until then, stay safe. Shalom.